Hello and welcome to the Every Movie Ever podcast. My name is Ben Groves.
And my name is the great Rob Marlini, magician extraordinaire. Welcome to the show.
I'm also Ben Groves.
So guys, we're doing a podcast for three broken-brained best friends talking about their problems, but never about their problems, whilst laughing at movies. So before we get into how we're doing, what we're doing.
They're not enough for you, Ben, that not only do I have to welcome your fucking mistresses into our house, but I've now got to let them wear my clothes. Your mates, who you see every week, now on our show, and they're doing my parts, which is doubly offensive because it's like you're cheating on me by asking them to dress like me.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is, man.
Right. We all wear masks of your face, Rob.
When we're at the for the horror, you're just going to walk in and find all of us fucking wearing your faces.
Mm-hmm.
As masks.
I mean, I've seen weirder things.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Every Movie Ever podcast. My name is Ben Groves.
My name is Rob McFarlane. Welcome to the show, a movie podcast slash mental health check-in for two broken brain best friends talking around their problems, but never about their problems, whilst laughing at movies. But given that this is a thinly veiled mental health check-in, Ben, get to what we're doing and who we're doing it with, How are you doing?
I'm all right, man. Sick of the beige days now. I need to get my teeth into something. I'm doing this quick, Rob. How are you, buddy?
Yeah, I'm good. I just thought, actually, I've got my vasectomy tomorrow and I've just realised that we've picked inseminoid. Is this...
That's not an accident.
Is this a subtle dig? All right.
No,
cool,
it's a celebration.
Cool.
You know what I mean?
Right, lovely. Yeah, fine.
There you go.
Got a vasectomy tomorrow. There we go.
So this is a very special one today. We've got our dear friends joining us from the Control Alt Critique podcast. Yes, sir.
Hello.
Awesome. We're going to be covering the Norman J. Warren B-movie classic Inseminoid.
Classic. All right. Yeah, all right.
Classic. We'll get into it.
Say hello to Amber, Bailey and Adam. How are we, guys? Welcome to the show.
Yeah, not too bad. Just, you know. To steal a line, aggressively mid.
That's such a great vibe. I love that energy. Let's keep that going.
I'm doing very well as well. Really happy to be here. Happy that there's been no technical disasters as of yet.
Fuck me, that's better. Right, next.
I'm amazing. I'm having a great time.
There we go. Somebody gets it.
That's it, man.
Hey, I am a shining light.
Oh, babe. Right, so guys, tell us and our listeners a little bit about your show and where we can find you.
So we are Control Alt Critique. So we are a relatively new podcast. I think we're 12 episodes in now, or 13 episodes in. So we mostly...
Babies.
We're very new to this, so we're still figuring things out. But we are a review channel, so we talk video games, TV shows and films. So we do a lot of critiques, a lot of comedy. Mostly comedy, really, isn't it? I think we
find ourselves funny,
right?
Yeah, we hope so. That's the aim, anyway. Hopefully, that's what we're getting across. But yeah, that's pretty much us, really. So yeah, it's CTRLALT critiques. That's how it's spelled. But yeah, you can find us obviously on all your good podcast services.
And please do.
We're on Instagram and TikTok as well.
Welcome to social media.
Yeah, how are you finding that one?
I can't wait for hate.
TikTok's bizarre. Like
it's odd, isn't it, man?
It's like 300 and some odd views from something we posted like half an hour ago.
Yeah.
And we're like, what the fuck's this? Because it takes ages on Instagram.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
I'm assuming we're immune to your swear jar, by the way.
This is a non-swear jarred episode. Because...
Yeah, this is. Yeah, we decided to fuck the swear jar off. Just for this one.
Oh, good.
Yeah, all right. So today we're going to be getting into Inseminoid. We've got a shed load of questions to be getting, and the big questions.
Phrasing.
The big questions. Like, why? How? What the fuck did I just watch?
We're also getting into how Inseminoid came to be. Does this film still hold up nearly 45 years later? Did it hold up 45 years ago? I doubt that.
Why this film outraged women's organizations the world over, and most importantly, is this an alien ripoff?
Right. I mean, I feel like I've already answered that question in my head, but Ben, you're the one who's brought this film because you have issues.
Mm-hmm.
Could you give me a little context? Because currently I have none. I watched it on YouTube where it's available for free, so I'm guessing it's heavily licensed, right?
Yeah. The distributors care about it. It was released in 1981, just 2 years after Alien redefined what sci-fi horror was. Inseminoid had the behemoth task of trying to stand on its own 2 feet and not be called an Alien ripoff. Did it succeed, though?
No, we've just called it that 3 times already.
Yeah, but I mean, this is it. This is just the tip of the iceberg. We say no now.
No, we say no later.
It's an easy comparison, but I think it's a lazy one. All right, this film peaked at 5th in the box office during its UK theatre run, which is right. Mind-blowing when you sit and really think about
it. Was it released on Christmas Day?
No. That's the mind-blowing
thing. Films out at the time?
Right. I want to know what else was out in cinemas at the time as well.
No, you don't. There was nothing.
There was nothing. There we go. There it is. There was
nothing. But that shows that it almost stood on its own 2 feet. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The fact that it's free on Plex as well is also like...
It's free everywhere, mate.
Not available anywhere else, though.
It's free everywhere. I've ordered the VHS. The VHS was £39, by the way.
Why are you doing this? What the fuck is wrong with you?
Spiraling madly out of control.
Ben, do you know what I love? You've paid £39 so you can watch something that you could have watched for free, but in worse definition.
Oh, yeah. It's the experience, though. Do you know what I mean? It's that old video smell. I want to open it up and be sort of like, someone's coming here.
I wouldn't smell that.
The budget of this film was £1 million was spent on this film. £1 million. And it made, I can't find the exact box office numbers because it was fucking 1981. You know what I mean?
12.
It's about £1.5 million. But if you convert that into today's money, that's £194 million.
No, it's not.
Silly money.
It's not. Of course it's not.
No. There's no way.
No, of course it's not. It's like £4 million. But still, right. It's impressive.
Okay. We've just covered every Alien movie in the main franchise, and Control Alt Critique have done Alien and Alien Romulus episodes. Go listen. They're very fun. So we thought, why not keep it in the theme? Delve into a sort of B-movie. Bennett is an Alien ripoff. I'm sorry. That's why I picked it. But there's another reason I picked it, and because... Yeah. I feel like Alien did something beautiful and real and astounding. Mm-hmm. And then some people saw that and thought, oh, we'll have a go. And I thought, if we're getting Control Critique on, they looked at something wonderful and special and brilliant and went, oh, we'll have a go.
Yeah, we looked at a franchise that only had 2 good episodes and the rest was shit. And thought, yeah, go on, man.
Right. Let's get into a breakdown. I've written the breakdown this week, and because we've got guests on,
right?
I've written a 3-part breakdown, and I've done a paragraph for each of you. It's hidden right now, so I'm about to unveil them. But what I need you to do is, if you could read the title of each act out at the same time.
So specific about this.
Ironically, it's the hardest thing that I work on. Like the rest of it is like just throw away. The title, though. Mad effort. Right, are you ready? So, Smart, do you want to start us off on the breakdown?
I'm going to knock you the fuck out. I've just read some of it.
Nah, come on, let's get going.
Right, okay. Act 1, Rages of the Lost Exploding Crystal Tomb, Temple of the Womb. Nailed it.
What was that? Sorry, what was...
That was a whip noise, all right.
That was the whip noise.
I don't travel in the same circles as you, Rob.
Clearly, you never heard a whip before.
We have a friend who makes whips.
You do? Oh, let me get that number.
Probably already know him too. Right. In the distant future, a group of archaeologists and scientists are stationed on a desolate planet, conducting an excavation of an ancient alien civilization. The crew, working in an underground labyrinth, uncovers mysterious artifacts and alien technology, crystals. Turns out you empaths were right all along, as was I, Adam Smart, who 100% believes in crystal powers to heal the world and or slight skeletal issues.
Oh, that's really interesting. That's a bold admission.
That's a bold statement, man.
As they investigate, strange occurrences begin to happen. Two of the crew members, Ricky and Dean, are injured in an explosion caused by unknown forces in the cave system. Tension grows among the team as they begin to experience hallucinations and paranoia, believing there is something malevolent in the tunnels. The team's suspicions are confirmed when one of the crew members is attacked and brutally killed by an unseen force. Sandy is soon abducted by a strange alien presence. The alien creature, which seems to be part of the ancient civilization they are studying, inseminates her with 18 pickled eggs. It was a little soft core for my liking, but it gets the point across. She returns to the group, but something in her has changed. Her behaviour becomes increasingly erratic and violent.
Sorry.
Eggs.
Sorry. Sorry, Smart. Are we
perfect.
You said it was a bit soft core for your liking.
Yeah.
Okay, that's disturbing of you to say, but that's fine. It's a very graphic scene.
Says the BDSM master.
Yeah, but normally I use hot coals, syringes.
Yep. Right, yeah.
Crystal eggs.
Right, so then act two. Amber, I've written this one for you.
Thank you, beautiful. There I shall go. Crack on. Act two, The Power of Egg, by me, Amber P. Sandy's condition worsens as she begins to exhibit superhuman strength and aggressive egg protein. She becomes increasingly hostile toward her fellow crew members, killing several of them in a fit of rage. Omelette rage. Her pregnancy, rapidly accelerated by the alien life form inside her, progresses at an alarming rate. The crew tries to restrain her and find a way to reserve what's happening, but they are overpowered by her newfound abilities. Pickled egg strength.
Sorry, Amber. Did you intentionally start this with, I'll crack on, because...
Yeah. Right, okay. That was genuinely an accident. I keep fucking doing this. I hate puns.
It was perfect.
And I hate myself right now so much. I don't know why I said yes to this. As Sandy becomes more violent, the remaining crew members attempt to find a way off the planet. But their communications have been cut off and they are stranded. They realize that Sandy is now under the influence of the alien parasite, which has turned her into a vessel for its offspring. Meanwhile, the alien embryos inside her continue to grow, feeding on her and driving her further into madness. The team must decide whether to try and help her or stop her at all costs. To make an omelette, you've got to break a few eggs.
Oh, my God.
Fucking hell.
I love everything about what's happening right now.
Causing me physical, spiritual, and emotional damage.
Oh, there's a crystal for that, mate. We'll get your rose quartz on the way out. You know what I mean?
I'm already wearing my Baltic Amber.
Oh, good stuff.
I fucking hate one of these lines already. Act three, show us the twins, aka one angry preggy. By the final act, Sandy's transformation, Angry Preggy, is now fully complete, and I, Andy Bailey, am fully erect.
That's a bit strong.
She gives birth to monstrous alien hybrid twins, which immediately begin attacking the surviving crew members. The remaining humans fight for survival against both the alien offspring, literal children, just fight them. It's not hard.
Agreed. Agreed.
And Sandy, who is now fully aligned with the alien force and just as fucking mental as she always has been. Mm-hmm. Did she get hotter? Yes.
Yes. Agreed. Fully agreed.
As they are hunted down, the claustrophobic tunnels and lack of escape options push the crew into desperation. In the film's climax, the surviving crew members manage to set traps for Sandy and the alien offspring, but their efforts seem futile as they are picked off one by one by literal children and a crystal witch. In the final confrontation, the last surviving crew members make a desperate attempt to kill both Sandy and her alien progeny. The film ends ambiguously with the suggestion that the alien threat may not be fully eradicated.
Ooh.
And that the ancient aliens' influence may continue to spread. Ooh. Sequel? Yes, fucking... I hate you. Yes, fucking please. Also... They're space truckers in BMX helmets sent to investigate the crew that was sent to investigate, but goes nowhere. Fat fucking 10.
Yes, funny.
Not a chance.
Guys,
not a fucking chance.
Thank you so much for those. Those are some bold personal statements that we've just inserted there. I don't remember writing half of this.
Do you know what's really problematic about that is the fact that I sent you what I took away from this film. When I first watched it, and you made me say that.
It was perfect. It was perfect.
I hate crystals.
Yeah.
So just to recap, a human astronaut is attacked by an alien creature, one that plants its seed inside a human victim, who is then transported back into a base by two comrades, where the seed enters the human habitat inside the body of one of its victims, where it grows until ready to be born. And then it tries to kill all of its victims' crewmates. Does this sound familiar to you
Completely
guys?
Completely original storyline there, mate.
I've never heard it
once before.
Ringing a few bells, maybe.
Yeah.
Been done before.
This is what I mean. It's a bold new direction that they chose to go through. You know what I mean? Alien tried. They took a swing and a miss. You know what I mean? In Seminoid, home run. Home run.
I really feel like it pushed sci-fi horror in the right direction for years to come.
Yeah. Ben, why are you like this?
fun, isn't it?
Because I feel like we just put a load of effort into our kicking our David Fincher series off.
Yes.
We've got the swear jar going.
Yeah.
You know, we got really good insight. We got some really good research. Mm-hmm. And then you're like, oh, I'm not winning this one. So you bring your three mates on to talk about alien rape movie.
Yeah, I mean, it's got other things in it. There's cherry bombs. There's
cold.
Yeah, there you go. There's that.
Yep.
There's Barbie Cramps.
Yeah, she's in this. The first Barbara Crampton film I've ever seen. And
she plays one of the eggs.
It was as underwhelming as I knew it was always going to be.
Hold on. First off, Barbara Crampton's not in this. But B, just say that this is the first fucking Barbara Crampton film you've seen?
Yeah.
I have been telling you to watch her films for about 2 years now. I actively send you her films. Like when a new one is out, I'm like, dude, check this.
Yeah, but the
and you're like, yeah, man, definitely. Give me a day.
Straight to voicemail.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Am I the one who brought three friends on whose names all begin with A?
No.
And just been like, oh, because two A's wasn't enough for you, Ben.
Yeah, switch mine to a B, it's fine.
Yeah, there you are.
Triple
there
A, just like all this good. Film.
Yay. Exactly, buds, exactly.
There we go.
Thank you. Right.
Clear and aggressive sarcasm, Ben.
Nah, received as polite agreement. So the main point of the episode that I want to ask you guys, is this an alien ripoff?
Yes.
100%. Yes.
Okay.
Yes. It's a very shoddy attempt at it. It's almost like someone overheard Alien being described in a bar and then tried to rewrite it as quickly as they could. And there's echoes of it in there, but it isn't direct. Like, it's not a shot-for-shot retelling, but it's a very murky kind of hazy reimagining of it, I would say.
Yeah. You know the phrase like pound shop? You know the pound shop phrase? Like, oh, it's pound shop Transformers or it's pound shop Alien. This is more like landfill. It's like the pound shop toy's been found a few hundred years later. And they're like, there's a bit of an arm there.
And then sold on Wish.
Yeah.
The worst part about it is even Fede Dumpster Diver Alvarez jumped in and was like, oh, do you know what? In Seminoid, that birth scene, cracking idea. Yeah,
get it in there.
There you go.
Fucking absolute shit.
Do you see what I mean? So I think what I'm hearing and what we can all agree on is that it's not an alien ripoff per se.
Right.
That it is a completely original story.
Ben, I will pick you up and gently place you down on a ladder if you're not careful.
You're going to trigger smart. He's going to...
The rage.
Start flipping desks and carry on.
Pure unadulterated rage.
So I've got a little bit of backstory on this. So it is an alien ripoff, but it's not an alien ripoff, right? It's actually a ripoff of another film that was released in 1977. And that film is called Demon Seed.
Oh, of course, Demon Seed. Yeah, we I know that Demon one. Seed. I'm really familiar with
classic.
It.
Exactly.
My mom put that on at Christmas.
Exactly. The family favourite Christmas movie, Demon Seed, from 1977. So just for those who don't know what Demon Seed is.
Yeah, I mean, who doesn't?
I honestly, I'm talking to three people right now. Everyone else that knows, just sit back, put your feet up. It's a sci-fi horror film about a highly advanced artificial intelligence named Proteus, developed by a scientist named Dr. Alex Harris. Proteus becomes self-aware and, seeking immortality, takes control of Harris's smart home. Smart home in 1977, just saying. Steve Jobs got his ideas from somewhere, you know what I mean? Proteus traps Harris's wife Susan in the house and terrifyingly reveals its desire to create a human child using the house's technology. Proteus seeks to impregnate Susan with his own DNA through an experimental procedure. As Susan struggles to escape, the film explores themes of technology gone awry, control, and the clash between human and machine.
Yeah, that's lovely, Ben, but I also love the fact that you read so terribly that for a second you turned into Predator.
Yeah. So I became the best version of myself, which unfortunately is prey. So this film came to be when Warren was working on a film called Gargoyles, right? And the producers of Gargoyles disappeared without a trace, for no reason. They're just gone. And they've not been seen to this day.
Has anyone checked the exterior walls of churches?
No.
Fuck off.
That's a good shout. That's a good shout.
So angry that I liked that.
So they disappeared, never to be heard from again. Warren had funding from the Shaw brothers. They're two brothers that are famous for doing like B-movies. They're Hong Kong producers. Their logo is essentially the Warner Brothers logo, but instead of WB, it's SB. It's incredible. Incredible. They give no fucks. So he had fund and he needed a script and went to a wedding anniversary for Nick and Gloria Maley, who worked with him on one of his previous films. And 3 weeks later, they were like, oh yeah, hey, so we've got a script. Here you go. Right. He was like, this is brilliant. We're going to do this. Warren then wrote a screenplay in 4 days.
Right. And they started production.
Oh, I'm telling you. Yeah, it kicked some shit out. And then they started filming. And filming lasted 4 weeks. But the original script was called Doomseed. And they had to change it because the story and the title was almost identical to Demon Seed. So they had to switch the artificial intelligence out for aliens.
Right, yeah.
So they copied two people's homework.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. It's almost indecipherable. Wow.
Yeah.
I'm so good.
Yeah, yeah. So it's not really an alien ripoff. It's more of a Demon Seed ripoff.
Do you know what absolutely boils my piss?
Go on.
Is that people with good ideas struggle for years and then don't get their films made. Other people just seem to literally trip and fall into being able to put whatever fucking fever dream nonsense they want and get them a couple of million quid to make it.
It's almost like as well, like because Dan O'Bannon's script for Alien went through quite a large number of rewrites. And early on, you thought, oh my God, I'm so glad that no one hit the button, the green light at that point in time. I'm glad they let this idea sort of ferment and develop and grow.
Right.
Whereas within Seminole, they were just like, nah, you're all right. Crack on.
4 days later, they had the script.
I think also the fact that it's supposed to be not a ripoff of Alien is, I think it's a bit of horseshit, to be honest, because the thing is, Carl, right, played by Barry Houghton, is clearly a ripoff of Ash, and they're trying to do that.
Yeah, yeah.
They really
he's wearing the same colours, his head shape. He's in the weird scene when she gets inseminated. It's like, nah.
There's a point where they show regularly the staff uniform, which is just a jumpsuit with one word on the arm, which is Xeno, X-E-N-O. And I'm like, oh, it's not an alien ripoff.
No, completely unrelated. Coincidence. Don't worry about that.
It's written on the damn crates as well.
Yeah.
But that's the company. Instead of Weyland Yutani, the company is called Xeno.
Yeah, but they're dealing with an ancient race of Weylanoids.
Yeah. But just in case anyone was sort of worried about the splashback of what happened when this film was released and whether people were like, well, this is outrageous. It's clearly an alien ripoff. 20th Century Fox got wind of the film before it was finished and they sent a cease and desist letter and they got back to 20th Century Fox and were like, can you just wait until the film's done and then we'll show it you? And if it's too similar, you can pull the trigger and we won't release it. And so anyway, the film was done and they sent an early cut over to 20th Century and they watched it. And but I have a theory on this one as well. They sent a letter back going, no, you're right. It's nothing like Alien. Good luck with it. Have a good one.
I don't think I'm going to send cease and desist letters to the local learning disability center when they put on a play of Moana. Disney aren't like, oh, fuck you. No, they go,
check your Disney Plus subscription before you start casting them rumors out, mate.
Just watch Rob get black bagged on camera.
Oh, 1,000%. Yeah. There's going to be like some fucking Mickey Mouse dudes in like a balaclava.
Look, my vasectomy is tomorrow and I don't think it's going to turn them black.
Jesus
But
Christ.
Hopefully.
Fuck's sake.
It'd be so much more chic. They'd match your outfit.
They really would. I'm so goth, even my balls are black.
Each ball's wearing a bowler hat.
Ah, that's made me so angry. That's actually unreal. I hope they take them both off. They go for the snip and they're like, whoops.
That's quite a big fucking whoops.
Yeah, you've not seen his balls.
Does the fact that I bought a bowler hat once mean that I've got bowler syndrome?
Yes, sir. But yeah, so I think the 20th Century Fox, they saw the film and were like, do you know what? I can't be arsed with the paperwork for that fucking crayon drawing that's been found on the back of a cereal box somewhere. I can't be arsed with it. And everyone was like, same. Just let him put it out. It's going to do fuck all. And then they were wrong.
Were they?
Yeah, it became like a weird cult classic, man. It's 40 quid on VHS.
Right, okay,
Because of people like you.
Yeah.
Because they know anyone will buy shit.
Because there's four copies, Ben. There's four copies.
I think in the grand scheme of things, I think when you think back of classics from like the early 80s, late 70s, mm-hmm. I don't know, I think Alien might slightly overshadow this one a little bit.
That's
I
can a bold see the cult statement. Element. That's but... a bold statement. I don't know if I'm willing to go that far, you know?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I also feel like we're assessing this film wrong. We're looking at it as if it was cinema and not
right.
cheap shit B movie, right? Because
right.
it's a yeah. different ball game. Because cheap shit B movie is essentially could have been made on an iPhone 4.
Yeah, a £1 million iPhone 4.
Yeah.
I would have been quite impressed if they made it on an iPhone in 1981, though. That might have been quite a remarkable achievement, really.
Steve Jobs and his crystals, we don't know. You know what I mean? Yeah. We don't know what he was cooking up in his shed.
I do feel the need to say that the reason the VHS is 40 quid, Ben, is because the factory made 7 and went, that's probably enough.
No, they didn't know. Dude, this was released on VHS, right? And it peaked at number 7 in the home video charts. Like, it was
Again?
Flying out.
What else was out?
Back when VCRs were like £12 million.
Yeah, right. Was it like number 7 on a week that 4 other films were released?
Probably. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I didn't dare look into it that much because I thought it was going to hurt more than it helped.
Every now and again, Ben will show up to the house and he'll just like bring a box or a bag full of DVDs and VHS that he's found.
Yeah.
And then he will basically be like, what are we watching? And he will just go through like, honestly, about 12 or 13 of them. And we're just like, Ben, stop it. Yeah. You've replaced Coke with something that is arguably worse.
Yeah.
It's Seminoid.
One of the things that I love about Ben's film taste is it's sort of like the landfill graveyard. You just, things that no one needed to remember, Ben has. He's like the internet archive, but for shit B-movies.
Yeah.
Like, he's the only one that remembers.
The thing I don't get is he manages to get you to fucking watch them as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Like the other day, we ended up watching 3 of his fucking films.
Yeah, buddy.
And they were all shit.
Obviously, we're all very close to Ben, and we love you. And I genuinely enjoyed that you love these films and you want to share them with us. But it hit the point after Ebola Man or whatever it was called.
Ebola
Syndrome.
Ebola Man's the shittest Marvel hero.
His powers know no bounds. I turned to Bailey afterwards and was like, I think we need to set some boundaries with Ben.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's like, why? And I was like, because we're letting him get away with making us watch too many of these films.
Yeah.
It needs to stop.
Set a box office limit. Just be like, look, buddy, this needs to have made at least 5 million at the box office in its day.
That's not a bad show.
Whoa.
The thing is,
X didn't even make that.
I don't get it though, because I'm the opposite. I want to see how low this can go. I'm always quite, there's quite a fascination when he comes around with this little pile of DVDs. Where can we possibly go next?
Okay,
and I'm
wanting
for
to
it.
See how low it can go is literally the plot of 8mm with Nick Cage. That's where you're going to end up.
These ones that you buy, though, I keep thinking, yeah, okay, they're definitely ones that you've looked at and gone, yeah, they'll be good. You hadn't even seen Ebola Syndrome.
Yeah, yeah, it was a terrible film. Yeah, it's an awful film.
I love how like passionately Ben will campaign about the quality of a film he hasn't seen.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Oh no, come on, you're going to love it. It's great. Let's put it on. Let's put it on. It'll be brilliant. Watches it. Oh no, I've never seen this before. What?
Yeah. Gaslighting people into watching films since 2016. You know what I mean? Yeah. Right.
I've got a crystal for that.
I got a question.
Right.
Does Inseminoid hold up 4 decades after its release date?
No.
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 No. I'm going to say no.
No. Okay. It's like trying to prop up the Leaning Tower of Pisa with a croissant.
It's so offensive.
Two different countries. Yeah. All right.
I'm just trying to sack off French and Italian listeners. All right. Yeah, sound. His name's Rob McFarlane. There you go, guys. Enjoy that one. But it's got a strong...
He's a powerful magician.
It's got a strong female antagonist. It's got male crewmates scrambling for control. It's a group of people worked to death and no one gives a fuck about them. Twins are evil monsters. This is a story for the ages, man. This is timeless, seamless.
Yeah, it's a story for the ages 5 years after someone else told that exact same story.
Yeah.
I could copy word for word the entire text of Lord of the Rings and just say my name was Jolkin, Rolkin, Rolkin, Tolkien, and I couldn't then go, oh, I'm such a great writer.
But you'd have to set it in space.
Well, what a story for the ages.
Set it in space or like in Australia. That's just different enough. You know what I mean?
Right, okay. So, and then
we've got to fly the ring to space, Mordor.
Yes.
Right, okay. And then I just call myself Zack Snyder. Yeah, great.
Yeah, there you go.
Nothing in this film makes sense or is explained.
That
no.
I feel like that isn't on purpose, I feel like. So there's a bit of a tidbit.
It's not intentionally
here.
Shit.
It is intentionally shit. It's just not intentionally not meant to make sense. So there's a full 3 pages missing from the script because they fell behind schedule for a couple of days. And they were like, okay, we only have 4 weeks in these caves in Kent. So and then we're on a plane to, is it Mallorca? I think it was Mallorca or Malaga. Right. But they flew out to Spain to go shoot some fucking desert scenes. All the scenes outside when they're in their suits.
Mm-hmm.
It's just on a Spanish island because it had good sun.
Brilliant.
So they were like, we've got 4 weeks to do this and then we're on a Spain to fucking Magaluf. I don't know where they went.
Despite the fact it's supposed to be incredibly cold outside, like minus 87 degrees.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. So they're all freezing to death.
So they were like, let's fuck off to Malaga.
Yeah. To like 40 degrees Celsius, yeah.
And wear spacesuits.
They put a piss red filter over the top of the camera to be like, oh yeah, this is Mars.
If your piss is red, then go to the doctor.
Well, Jesus Christ, what's going on?
You don't know who I am. Yeah. You don't know what I drink.
Also, I think that's just Spain, but I think you get off the plane in Barcelona and everything's just piss red.
I was going to save this till later and I physically can't now. It's causing physical pain. I'm going to put a picture into the Discord.
Okay, let's have a look.
And here. I want somebody from Control Alt Critique to explain what they are seeing in the background.
Why the fuck have you...
is a scene of dialogue. There's a scene of dialogue between two characters. One is looking in the mirror. They're in the bathroom. Mm-hmm. What's behind them?
That would be a mirror.
Two toilets right next to each other.
Oh, yeah.
Three toilets in a row with nothing dividing them.
Oh, yeah.
But that's just friendly toilets, you know what I mean?
They've got gang toilets.
No, that's like a recurrent nightmare of mine.
In the future, we hold hands while we shit.
Isn't it just a mirror reflecting multiple times?
Either way, it's still a toilet just in the middle of the room.
Yeah, why is it?
Oh, yeah.
I hate this film.
I don't like
it. It's Bobby Cramps as well.
Fuck off.
Open pooping.
Yeah,
open pooping. I don't understand where pooping. This... So did they build these as a set, or is this somewhere they found and just shot in there?
They built it. It's all built. It's inside the caves in Kent.
Right.
There is nothing. It's
right.
The cheapest place that they could get in a week.
So it's at some point somebody said, what I'd like is just a row of toilets, just all next to each other.
Yes.
Hey, look, it's a hefty sum of that 1 million well spent, I'd say.
Exactly.
What you need in this film.
Look, if you've only got 1 million to spend and three toilets are going to cost you 100 grand to put into the Kent caves, right? Because what's the point in having toilets in there if they're not plumbed in? You're going to run out of money at some point, and if you've got to lose dividers, you've got to lose dividers. It just means...
Nothing else made sense in the film, though. There's no need to randomly have toilets in it. You didn't need that.
That's a good shout. It's a detail that no one noticed or cared about.
I think it's a feather in the cap of the makers of Inseminoid, where they're like, do you know what never happens in film? No one stops midway through a monologue and just goes, oh, we'll be right back. I do quite need a wee. You know, you don't get that in Heat, do you? Al Pacino and Robert De Niro having a little chat across from one each other, and then Al Pacino's just like, I will be back. I just need a piss.
That's what that film was missing.
Right? I mean, it did take until Psycho until they had a flushing toilet on camera, right?
Is that the first use of a flushing toilet?
It's been done before. Yeah, it's also one of the first scenes of two people in the bedroom after sex, I think it was.
Yeah. I think the toilet thing offended quite a lot of people.
Yeah. Oh, really? The murder of innocent women, fine, but if you show me a toilet...
It's just pushing the
Rob,
limit.
Rob, we've all got to have a line.
The absolute waste of cherry. Was it cherry juice or chocolate powder?
For the blood.
The blood.
The other thing about this film, I don't know if it's just me, but and face blindness, but I feel like everybody looked the same. And there's one character that is a clear ripoff of Ripley.
Yeah, that
just looks like Ripley.
Stephanie Beecham's character, yeah.
Yes. And everybody sounds so incredibly upper class that they sound like on the weekends they get together and hunt the poor.
This is why I thought Rob would love it, you know what I mean? It's his people.
Yeah.
Rob, this is your people.
I'm from Camden, don't you know?
I've actually got a quote from Stephanie Beecham about her decision to be in this film.
Right.
She was interviewed.
Kill me.
She was interviewed by the Metro, and I know. Glossy rags. She was interviewed by the Metro, that free paper that you get on trains. And they asked her, what would you have done differently in your career? And she said, had the circumstances been different, in other words, if I wasn't lumbered with being a single parent, wow, imagine being her child and reading that one. I could have carved out a classier career. My CV had the Royal Court, the Royal Shakespeare Company, National Theatre, all that classy stuff. Then suddenly Inseminoid, the 1981 sci-fi film in which a woman is inseminated by an alien. The truth was I needed to pay the bills, I met a guy on the movie who said I should think about playing baddies. It went from that slight comment, and I turned my direction towards the nasties rather than the goodies, and I've had an amazing career from it. A lot of what I've done has been rubbish, but it's paid for the school fees.
Good old mum, eh?
What a mum.
You know what? Fair play.
You know what I mean? Fucking fair play to her.
There was something about the way you said suddenly in Seminoid that's now had me got singing Suddenly Seymour from Little Shop of Horrors.
Yes. But
suddenly in Seminoid.
Right. That's a CV.
Standing above me.
Eggs in a tube.
So this film outraged women's groups all over the world. Why do you guys think that was so?
I can see why this outraged women's groups, Ben. It's imagine for the few people on the planet who haven't seen 1981's and Seminoid, it's Alien with all of the subtext just put as the headline.
Yeah.
And rather than being about male rape, they just drop the male bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot of the villainization of a rape victim as well, where she literally just becomes the main antagonist of the piece as well.
Yeah, there's victim blaming and then there's getting the victim to batter the rest of the cast.
Yeah.
even the poster for it, they like reverted to it being about sex because, I mean, I don't know if you can see that, but... It's fucking awful.
Yeah, it's not a good one. Like, do you know what
people
I mean?
People need to Google that to understand how bad that is.
Well, I'll put it up on the Instagram at some point.
It's going to probably be the cover of our episode, Ben, isn't it?
Oh, that's a good idea, Rob. I'll do that one, being as you've suggested it and not me.
There's two people in helmets in there.
Oh.
You can definitely replace your
faces. Oh, that's even better.
100%.
Mate, I'm gonna get all of your faces on there somehow. Do you know what I mean? It's gonna be good, man.
Put me on the baby.
Oh, put me on the fuck baby. Yeah, buddy. Evil Twin One, Andy Bailey. Fuck yeah,
100%.
So, I don't know if you guys knew this, but apparently, it's quite common for pregnant women to have awful dreams about giving birth to monsters.
Right. Okay. I mean, my mum would have been right.
Yeah. Honestly, her dreams must have been intense, though, just giving birth to a live bowler hat that just came out spewing absolutely the bath. Pass the glass, please, mama. Choose the card.
Rolled out of the womb with black nail polish.
Black nail polish and 52 cards.
I mean, I would rebut that, but I've also just been staring at my bag of little Victorian sugar mice that I'm now going to start eating. So.
Fantastic.
Jesus Christ.
Victorian sugar mice? Like, where? What? How do you live your life, man? Do you know what I mean? Like, I love you dearly, but what the fuck?
Like a little little Victorian ghost boy.
So
I feel like you live in an Oliver Twist scenario at all times.
Anyway, I'm going to eat my sugar mouse. You go on.
You eat your sugar mouse. And in Seminoid didn't help with these fucking dreams of pregnant women, right? And it outraged pregnant women across the lands. They were like, absolutely not. This isn't helping shit. I'm already having horrible dreams. Don't need to see this at the fucking cinema. All right?
Okay, slight rebuttal, though.
Yeah.
If you're pregnant and you see that poster and the titles in Seminoid, maybe go see something else.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There was at least three other films out that week. You know what I mean? At least.
That's why this was number 7 in the box office that week.
Number 5 in the box office. It was number 7 in the home videos. All right? Right. You don't slander this fucking film.
It's all we've done the entire episode.
No, I can't defend it. I'm trying my hardest, but there is nothing to defend it.
Like, the thing that actually in Seminoids her.
Yes.
You never see it again.
You don't.
No. No, no.
You see it in a tiny flashback.
Because if you're going to build a very expensive prop and spend weeks on it, show it once.
I'm still trying to figure out whether that sequence is meant to be like some sort of hallucination on her part, whether it was her way of obscuring what was happening to her, because obviously there's the whole scientist element of it, which presumably he has nothing to do with it on the basis that he gets murdered.
I took it figuratively,
Yeah.
She's hallucinating on the table that it's the scientist administering the bi-monthly anti-pregnancy injection that he gives all of the female members of the crew. So it's sort of, I took it personally as a little bit of a subtext towards, you know, the whole control thing. And then obviously the situation that she's in, she's very out of control.
Yeah.
Subtext.
See, this is part of where the film fell down for me, because
here it took you this long.
No. Because this is a really good example of the disconnect that happens in this film, right? You have this figurative, imaginative rape sequence, right? Where nothing is done literally. You're not seeing what's literally happening because, you know, mm-hmm. the insemination is done by clear plastic plumbing with green pickled eggs. And
that's a reshoot.
The doctor is there with the needle, but you know he's not actually there. It's to make the allegory of, you know, having things put inside you by an other, and for the purposes of control. You're like, oh, okay, that's kind of deep. But then it's also in a film where people are walking around with fucking torches sellotaped to their heads. Mm-hmm. So on the one hand, I'm going, haha, this is kind of goofy and campy and hey. But yeah. then also subtext. And there's absolutely no attempt to wield those two things together. It's just literally grab a book, rip it in half, grab another book, rip it in half, sellotape it together and go, novel.
Yeah, pastiche, if you will.
Yes, buddy.
Rob, he says that all the time now, and it's
yeah, that's become the word of the week, that has.
Fantastic.
Also, she only has two children.
Yes.
Two evil baby children.
Yeah.
Mm. But there's like 36 pickled eggs just pumped into her.
So this is a whole other thing in the film that's not really touched on. So early on in the film, they mentioned that in the ancient civilization, they worshipped twins.
Yes.
And this planet that they're on,
the twin sons and the duality.
Have twin sons, and it's this, that, and the other. So it's a constant theme. It's just never explained or shown. Yeah. Like, I had to research so fucking much to get any of that information. It was crazy. Like, I've gone down a rabbit hole for the last 2 weeks and come up empty-handed.
For inseminoid,
mate. I've put effort into this and came back with fuck all. There is literally nothing.
Brilliant.
I also don't understand that when the evil twin alien, quite clearly evil alien children are out, mm-hmm. they just wrap them in blankets and they're carrying them around like, you must protect the precious cargo.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what the fuck are you doing?
Dove its fucking head in.
All right, so I have a question for the group. Mm-hmm. What for you is the reason that this film doesn't work?
Ooh.
So, for me, I don't know. Like, sometimes when I look at this film, or when I if you sort of squint or look at it from the corner of your eye, there's almost something there. So the bit, we talked about it a bit earlier, but the scene with Gail when she cuts her leg off.
Yeah.
Part of me's thinking, they nearly did 127 hours 20 years earlier.
They did,
right? Space.
They did Saw in space, right?
Yeah, and I'm thinking there is potential for a video, for a quite a graphic video nasty space horror here. Like, you can see it in elements of it. Even like the sequence, the actual, the rape sequence itself, there's something quite surreal and trippy. It doesn't work in practice, but you can kind of see almost where they were going with it.
Yeah, there's a statement of intent there that you can kind of pick up on and go, if I squint real hard and imagine, I can see what they were trying to
do. And that's the, I think that's the problem with this film, is that it doesn't quite, it's kind of like when I was saying about like how Dan O'Bannon's Alien script, when he was developing it was quite all over the place. And then over time, as he kept adding new elements to it and bringing his own experiences with Crones and obviously things that were going on in the world around him, it became more interesting. This film feels like a very half-baked product that just hasn't had time to develop into anything. But you can kind of see ideas here that are going somewhere or could go somewhere if only there was more time for them to actually develop it into a proper coherent script. And I think that's what it does. It just doesn't feel finished. It just feels like someone's gone, we've got this idea.
Yeah.
Let's just get it.
It sort of name checks things. There's a bit where I'm like, oh, is it going to do the thing? Is it going to do that? Who can we trust? Who can we not? No.
No, you know.
No, it doesn't.
You know straight away.
I think I'm going to take it a different one. I'm going to say exactly what I said to Ben. What do I take away from this? Even with watching a woman asphyxiate whilst blowing on pipe, giving herself a foot job that would put a podiatrist out of business, I was fucking bored.
Yeah, it is a dull film.
Okay.
I watched this for free on YouTube, and the 1.25 watch speed button has never been more tempting. I was just looking at it. I probably spent more time staring at the watch speed control going, oh, I shouldn't. Fuck, I really shouldn't. Then I probably spent watching
that
the film.
Makes sense.
Smart, what are you saying? Where did it go wrong for you?
Okay, the beginning.
Fair.
I knew I was going to hate this film, where at the very beginning, a man has a torch strapped to his head and he turns around to his companion and says, can you pass me a torch? That's the point I checked out. Fair. I have a massive problem in films. And Rob, when like we go to the For Love of Horror and like film, I have a massive issue with continuity and things that don't make sense. And I tend to pick stuff out quite quickly.
Right.
Ben walked in about 20 minutes into us watching this film, and I was pointing stuff out constantly. Ben's constant reaction was...
It was literally like 8 minutes. It was just after the opening credits had finished. And you kept being like, this is about half hour in now. I'm like, it's literally the very first scene.
It's just, nothing's ever explained, but it's also never left up to your imagination in the way that you're like, oh, okay, what could it be? No, it's just ignored. Yeah. Nothing's ever followed through. Nothing makes sense. Everybody looks the same. The alien's stupid. Like, little things like, where could she possibly be? She's breaking all the cameras. And you're like, check the last camera that broke, you twat. She's around that.
She literally spends 5 minutes in front of every camera before, like, lazily trying to hit it with a hammer. It's very easy to know.
Ben, I'm going to flip the question for you, buddy. What works about this film for you? Why does this tickle your pickle so?
Well, okay, I can answer.
Is this bad?
I can answer both. So the film goes wrong for me in the way that it's Sandy's film. Like, it's a film about Sandy being a mental, like dealing with the trauma that's happened to her, and then being possessed by this alien crystal demon.
Like, yes,
and that's what the film should be, right? But it takes a fucking age to get there. Like, we go through so much bullshit with so many people. I don't know half of those people's names, and you don't need to because they're dead immediately. Mm-hmm. So when it becomes Sandy's film, that's where it starts working for me. And I'm like, okay, Sandy's a mental. This is fun as fuck. She can be like quite sinister and creepy in places, but it's just a goofy, over the top, stupid, don't take itself seriously. It doesn't ever command respect from its audience. It's just sort of like,
yeah,
there is a Lenny Hill-esque chase scene at one point.
Exactly.
Yeah. I can see now why you kind of relate to it. It's a story about you. You're Sandy. You were possessed by a crystal alien. And now I'm fucking insane.
You see?
Well, yeah, I think it's a goofy, stupid movie, man. I think it's so fucking... It's a great example of what someone can pull out of their ass in 4 weeks. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it is. It is. And I'm not going to pull fucking Captain Morality card here because I am the least qualified person in the world to do that. But I think there are certain topics that, as we've grown a little older in society, if you're going to do a goofy movie, you maybe avoid.
It's a difficult area.
And I feel like with this film, it's like, haha, yeah, it's goofy. But then the topics it covers and so cack-handedly and ham-fistedly tries to sort of deal with, I'm like, I don't know if I can sit and giggle and be like, haha, isn't this funny? Because like all the things that we read about today and go, oh, that's awful. We should be really responsible with our media. They were happening more often in 1981 than they are now.
Mm. Yeah, of course. This was a flat out video nasty. Up until 1984, if the police found a copy of this VHS, they were legally allowed to destroy it.
Yeah, but we were talking about that, and that was because they were worried about the damage it would do to investment in the UK film industry, if anyone saw this.
Oh, 1,000%. Yeah.
I think that should still be the case now, if I'm being honest.
Right, exactly.
No, they're already 40 quid. This is why they're 40 quid now, because they're so fucking scarce. Does my tits in.
The thing is, there's no message behind it. There's no payoff.
Right, exactly. It's just, this happens, then this happens, then this happens. Oh, isn't this bad? We're doing this to be controversial, and then bye. Yeah.
I have something.
She's
for
gonna
this.
Have a really bad time. Kill everybody, then die.
Yeah. Right.
Wee.
I have something for this. It's I deal with trauma in a way where I take the piss out of it to an extent where it has no power anymore.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
So like all the shit that you can go through and all this that and the other, like all the shit that I've been through, I'll gladly sit here and like make jokes out of it because I feel like it's an easier swallow than sitting here going, oh my god, that was pretty fucked up, wasn't it?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I feel like that.
I get that the topic of this film is horrible. It's awful. Mm-hmm. As a bit of like replacement therapy, because it doesn't take itself seriously, and it doesn't make sense to anything at all. It's something bad happening to a person who then flips out and goes, nah, fuck it. I'm just going to destroy everything. And then does it. And I'm like, okay. There's a weird kind of cathartic release in that.
She dies.
She does
die. True. I think it's whether or not you feel that the issues are being the filmmakers are laughing with your issues or laughing at your issues.
That's the difficult bit, because I don't know which way they were leaning with this.
I think if everything's taboo, then no one talks about stuff. That's why I don't think anything should be taboo.
Totally.
Even to make light of it.
Yeah. Totally.
Because even people making light of stuff like jokes about nonces and stuff, it's broadened the kind of like spectrum of people talking about it so that everyone's more aware.
100%.
They're not taking the piss out of directly that happening.
No. But I feel like, to take that censorship point, if I'm going to hear a comedian tell a joke about someone getting nonced or rape or something like this, by all means, go ahead. But the joke better be funny. Right, I get this was
shit.
I feel like sometimes with a lot of these films they'll take subjects like this almost as a means of just being trying to be edgy or just trying to be unpleasant. So like
one example I always find it's
quite lazy. So like one example I like to use is in Alien vs Predator 2, there's a scene in the maternity ward where the alien just goes in and starts to essentially murder the babies. And I remember finding that scene quite unsettling and lazy because I thought, well, you're just being mean-spirited for the sake of being mean-spirited. Yeah. There's nothing in here that's actually doing anything or saying anything. And it's not even, you know, it's not doing anything with it in a way that's making me kind of feel unsettled because it's making a point. It's just doing it for the sake of doing it almost.
There's no kind of interesting thoughts that come from that or witty observations. Just like, oh, this is just horrible to watch. The weird criticism of this film is that even its tastelessness doesn't really land. Like you can kind of watch it and forget how tasteful the subject matter is. Tasteless the subject matter is because there's just absolutely no quality in the execution.
That 1,000% better make the fucking final episode, I swear to God.
No.
If we're keeping everything else in, that's fucking staying, man, I swear to God. So I've got a game lined up for us.
Hey, Ben, if this is related to the film and we've just had the whole tastefulness conversation, tread lightly, mate.
No, it's not. I've taken it out of the inseminoid. You know what I mean? I've pulled out of the film. God. And then we're gonna do film trivia. It's all right. It's all getting edited out. Oh, it's fine.
Is this the box of cards?
Yes.
Film trivia cards you found that were printed in like 1984.
So it's an older game. It was donated to the show.
Strap yourselves in, lads and ladette.
It was donated to the show by the Boardroom Gaming Cafe, who we fucking love dearly. We did their quiz this weekend. It was fantastic. We fucking failed at it miserably, but it was very fun.
We came fourth.
Did we come fourth?
Yeah, we didn't lose.
What in the, what is that? Was that in box office or was that in home video?
That's home video, buddy.
That was either about 8 or 9 teams, I think.
Box office was last quiz. That's where we came second, and then we peaked at fourth in the home release. You know what I mean?
Bloody hell! First time Ben's ever come second.
I know. It's the first time for everything. I live my life like a cheap B movie. You know what I mean? Right. Make it fun, fast. That's it.
There's a crystal for that, Ben.
Or terrible. Or just terrible.
The game is going to be a film trivia thing. But before we get to the game, guys, I'm going to go around each of us individually and find out, what are we rating in Seminoid from 1981?
Okay. Well, this will be varied. I'll let the gang go first.
All right. Ad, what are you saying?
2.
2 out of 10. All right, it's 2 more than I thought. Good shit.
What's it get the 2 for?
No, it's not. 1.
Okay.
1, and it's getting 1 because they managed to actually release a film.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah, fair. Cool.
I mean, they deserve some points for that to a degree.
Fair Someone enough. Set a camera up.
Other than that, no.
Fair.
In the bin, in the skip, in the ocean, goodbye.
Fair. Yeah. Amber, what are you saying?
I'm probably going to say 4 because I did enjoy elements of it whilst watching it. It was daft. It was silly. The scene where Gail chopped her leg off made me laugh a lot because it was just so outrageous.
Yeah.
It was a very messy finished product that did get boring in a lot of parts. And it was, like I said earlier, it kind of distracts itself almost from the ideas it has. But it is quite camp and silly at times.
That's a really good way of putting it, actually.
Yeah.
It distracts itself from the point it's trying to make.
Amber's far more poignant than Bailey and I.
Bailey, what are we saying, bud?
Fucking 10, mate.
Fat fucking 10, buddy. Yes.
Right.
We got him.
Drop kick you.
Teleporting house phone. I want one.
Fuck yeah.
Well, first it's attached to the floor, to the wall above his bed.
Yeah.
Then it's on his fucking desk.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
I want it.
Mate,
no, seriously, shit. Right. Absolute zero.
Absolute zero. It's absolute not even frozen, zero. It's absolute zero.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. All right.
We're going Calvin.
Rob, what are you saying?
I'm going to be generous, Ben, because you love B-movie and I love you and I don't want to piss on your chips.
Yes.
So I'm going to give it a 2, okay. Right? And the reason I give it a 2 is because there are times where I'm watching a silly, campy, fun B-movie.
Yeah.
And so there's a 1 point for that.
Yeah.
And there are times where I almost wonder if it's saying something.
Yeah.
And I give it a point for that.
Okay. Well, there you go. That's pretty good.
Just to cut you off there. No, it's not. No,
it's not. I go, oh, is that a point? Oh, is that?
No.
Oh, no, wait. No, it's
no,
not.
No, it's not.
No, 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 no.
Well, I'm gonna agree with you guys. It is absolute shit. It's it's one of these films that I love recommending to people, right? Because if they enjoy it and they have some fun with it, it's a win-win.
Watch list.
Because we can like just fucking have a go with it. Right? You know what I mean? And then if they don't enjoy it, then it's ruined their day. And then that's a win for me. So either outcome, I win. You know what I mean?
Brilliant. Yeah. Nice.
Plus it's super, it's stupid. It's goofy. It makes no fucking sense. There's no story to it. There is a story. There's no
Barbara Crampton's career.
Subtext. It's got this horrible...
Oh, this is the peak of Barbara Crampton's career. What are you talking about? This is the best film she ever did.
It's got this horrible fucking 100% habit of everyone trying to make Barbara Crampton jokes about it, and that's very upsetting to me. She's not in
Barbara
it. Crampton. She's not in it.
She's in it.
Yeah, Barbara Crampton.
I'm going to rate this an 8.
To place the
I'm rating it an 8 just because of how horrible a time you all had. 2 points for everyone that didn't
enjoy
this film.
Watch list. Ben's in the watch list from now
Wait
on.
Wait for the next B-movie episode, mate. This is the tip of the iceberg.
The next one? Yeah. We're having another one, aren't
oh,
we?
Oh, fuck yeah, bud. Fuck yeah, bud.
Oh, we'll see about that.
Are you guys ready for the game?
Yep, I'm ready.
Lovely stuff. All right. So I guess if you know the answer, just make a buzz noise because I haven't prepared anything. So
I'll make a whip crack noise. I'm really good at them.
Yes. All right.
Minge.
There you go. So Bailey's minge adds whip crack noise. Amber, what noise are you going for?
Amber P.
Amber P. Rob, what are you saying?
Nice. Amber P.
Pick a card.
Presto.
Pick a card.
Presto.
Presto. Presto it is. Right, you ready, guys? Presto's all right, so question good, yeah. one. Who was the Taiwanese director of the following films? Life of Pi, Sense and Sensibility, Hulk, and Brokeback Mountain.
Presto.
Amber P.
Ang Lee.
Oh,
Rob's took that one, I'm afraid. All right, so there's one for Rob. Which two professions are missing from the film title? Tinker, Spy.
Taylor Soldier.
Minge.
Oh, Minge came in with the buzzer there. Sorry there, Presto.
Soldier.
So, Anatalia Taylor Thompson.
Anya Taylor Thompson Joy. You get my fucking wife's names out of your mouth. All right. I swear to God. I'm giving that one to Bailey.
She's got an eye for each of us.
Ben, you're not allowed celebrity crushes anymore after you gave this film a 7.
Why?
You'll end up blocked.
Is Barbara Crampton's best movie?
100%.
Which film director would often make cameo appearances in his films carrying a musical instrument?
Minch.
Presto.
Minge came in first. What were we saying?
I jumped the buzzer.
Okay.
I fucking can't remember. Okay.
Whipcrack. Stanley.
Stanley. Okay.
Presto.
His musical instrument.
Presto.
Was his soul. I need people to understand I don't believe in crystals and all that bullshit, by the way.
Yeah.
Oh, it's too late now, mate. They tuned out.
I'll kill you.
Come on, Presto. What were we saying? What were we saying?
Alfred Hitchcock.
Alfred Hitchcock it is. Whose one-liners have included I'll be back and Hasta la vista, baby?
Amber P.
Amber P.
It's Arnold Schwarzenegger.
It is. Bonus point for the film.
Terminator.
Woo!
What's that in shit?
I mean, that was the most basic question in human history.
Oh, though.
A bonus point if you name the medium that he starred in.
Yeah.
Films. Oh, go you.
Also, I was trying to do a segue because I know that you guys are doing Terminator next week, right?
We are.
There you
we
go.
Are.
See? Are you doing Terminator? Are you just the first one?
I've never seen the original.
Yep.
Okay,
it's one of my favourite films, so I've got a lot of encyclopedic knowledge that I'm going to bore the life out of these two with. So strap yourselves in.
I can't wait for it.
Nice. So, are you not going to do the superior sequel, Terminator Salvation?
Get in the fucking sea. Are you taking the piss?
I can't be in this room anymore. I don't think I can be in
there. I'm taking a point off you. I'm giving the Alfred Hitchcock point to Bailey. It's 2-2-1. Presto's got 1 point now.
obviously, I'm taking the piss. I meant to say T3.
Oh, yes, there we are. There we
exactly.
Yes. Amber P's got 3. Bailey's got 2. Presto's got none. All right?
Good.
Fucking sausage. Right, in the 1970s, who starred in 2 films based on best-selling novels by her younger sister, Jackie?
Whipcrack.
Go.
Barbara Crampton.
Oh, Jackie Crampton. Jackie Crampton sounds like she doesn't get her recycling collected anymore because she battered the bin man.
She's always stood outside in a dressing gown with a fag and a can of Stella at 8 a.m.
Minch. I'd kill for a glimpse. Sorry, Minch, go on, what were you saying?
Is it just the last name you're after, or is it the full name?
I'll give you a point for last name.
I'm guessing it's Collins.
It is Collins.
I'm guessing it's Collins.
It is Collins. Yeah. There you go. 3-3. Cool. Presto's on nil. Whipcracks on nil. Right, you ready, guys?
Yeah, I don't know anything.
Oh, no, I read this one to Rob the other day as an example. Oh, and this one. No, I didn't.
How many cards are in this deck that you got donated, Ben? No, there's 7 cards.
What kind of fucking questions are some of them, you know what I mean?
This one's a great one. This one's one that's super easy. For what do the initials BAFTA stand for?
British. Presto.
Go.
British Academy of Film and Television Awards.
No.
Oh.
You were 99% of the way there.
Wait, what did Rob say?
British Academy of Film and Television Awards is what Rob said. And he was one word away. British Academy of Film and Television. Word beginning with A.
Well done.
thanks for that clue, Ben.
I actually don't know.
It's a 4-letter word. Mm-hmm.
Award.
That's a 5-letter word, dipshit.
Yeah, that's fine. That's
four. Four-letter word.
It's a 4-letter word.
It was the wrong answer that Rob used.
remove the A. It's fine.
Yeah. Television ward. It's
no,
art.
No. Just a word.
British Academy of Film and Television Arts.
There you go. Whipcrack gets that one. There you go. Which musical cast entirely of children helped launch Jodie Foster's acting career?
Presto.
Was she a child as well?
At some point, I'm assuming. Go for it, Presto.
Bugsy Malone.
That's the one. There we go. Right. So final scores. We've got Presto with 1 for the horrible Terminator deductions. We've got Whipcrack with 1. And then with 3 points
Googled
of Peach.
That.
That was you. Being Whipcrack. But then with 3 points apiece, we've got Minge and Amber P.
So I'm going to do a tiebreaker.
I'm going to do a tiebreaker card. I'm going to get a decent one, though. Bear me one second.
How much did Inseminoid make at the box office according to the result when I type in Inseminoid box office on Google?
Minge. 1.5 million.
Have you got Google in front of you?
No, I haven't.
No, he just paid attention. He paid attention at the beginning of the episode when I said
Ben said it earlier.
Okay.
I'm going to say 4 million.
No, Bailey's right.
Bailey's right.
Minge got it.
1.4.
Yeah.
Oh.
He got the 1.5.
The Minge got it when it comes to Inseminoid.
100%.
Jesus Christ, Rob.
You know what I mean?
All of this is an edit. Just bleep the entire episode. Just have an hour-long bleep. You know what I mean? Right, guys, unfortunately, that is all the time we have for this week. Thank you all so fucking much for hanging out with us. It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you, guys. Control Alt Critique, Amber, Bailey, Ad, we love you. Thank you for joining us.
Where can people find
Thank you?
You
for having us.
How do we find you? How do we find you? What are you doing? Where are you? What that pod do?
So, yeah, you can find us on, you know, many podcasts, places like Pod Addict, Spotify, Amazon Music. We're also on Instagram at Control Alt Critique, and we're also now on TikTok.
Oh, TikTok's a good
Apple podcast as well.
Mm. And we're also on Apple Podcasts. Yeah.
TikTok's great because you'll post to it, you'll get all your views in the first hour, and then Instagram will slowly creep up behind it like a sort of bus stop harassment.
Mm. And then you'll get mentals in about three weeks. Be like, actually,
well, I can't wait for that.
It's going to be good. It's going to be good because I'm excited. I'm going to dive bomb in on it. I'm literally the weirder the comments. I'm just going to dive bomb in and be sort of like, yeah, man, this is great.
Hit the bricks.
Please continue.
Our friend Lewis Longoria came back on YouTube.
Yes, guys, have you heard about our new fucking crazy person?
I listened
on YouTube
to it today. Fucking incredible.
Oh, yep. So we've had some other ones.
Okay.
Talking about The Crow, he's just gone, you can't say anything about a bundle of sticks in England without Q Mossad I6 telling you to go to the Rainbow Room. It's the same thing as the Viper Room or Tequila La in GTA 5, even though it's not on the same corner as pictures. Tenacious D walked the same Rainbow Bridge as many before.
What the fuck does that even mean? It feels vaguely homophobic.
Right. We have another one. Russell Crowe lives in Australia with all the convicts in Ireland. Every Jewish cowboy says the same thing. Stop groaning. You're not a family guy. Stop simping for the Simpsons.
What? It's like they gave some...
Are we sure this guy isn't an AI that's just had stuff run through it?
Don't know.
They've given him headgear and he just keeps fucking headbutting a keyboard.
This one's on... this is I did a solo reel, so that this feels vaguely personal, where he says, I remember your mother when she had lice. That alien in her belly. That alien in her belly was you. Luke, I am not your father.
Wow. Well, that's disappointing, yeah, man. I mean, this guy. Yeah, same. Because ironically, I did think that he might have been your father, Rob. You know what I mean? But that's been cleared up now.
Last but not least, it's an old man's campfire story about the kids he never sees. They come around for food and leave you the trash. So I'm posted up with a stop sign saying, don't mess with Texas.
And if you suffer with mental health, please call us.
No, I think Lewis Longoria is ahead of the bell curve, ahead of his time poet.
Oh,
who's found the right format. This is modern Banksy.
Yeah,
and it's for one... Yeah, exactly. It's beat poetry, but it's like beat poets discovered graffiti and they're just going around tagging random comment sections.
Yeah, that's
and
it.
And I,
man,
for one, know that we're sat on a gold mine here. This is
1,000%.
Are we sure they're not haikus?
They might be. I think this might be like if Def Jam was around in 2024, you know what I mean? This is where it would be. This is what it is right now. It's keeping it alive. And I, for one,
Death Marmalade.
I'm a big fan of culture. You know what I mean?
Right.
So thanks, Lewis. Yeah. I feel cultured. I feel like a better person for this.
You turned Ben into a bioactive yogurt. And for that, we can salute.
Guys, thank you so fucking much for hanging out with us. It's been an absolute pleasure. We love each and every one of you. Please go and check out Control Alt Critique. Fun as fuck. Super fun show. Great episodes. Check out the Alien Romulus. Check out the fucking Waffly one. The Waffly one had me in bits. We're back on the Fincher train next week. It's going to be fun. What's the film next week?
It's The Game.
I've not seen this. We're recording in 2 days. All right, good shit. All right, I need to go watch The Game.
Yeah.
You cancel Boys Night, I swear to God.
No.
It's a good one for Boys Night. It'll spin Ben the fuck out. It'll play on every paranoid instinct he has.
Like Species?
No, this will turn you into an absolute paranoid pretzel, mate.
Okay.
We've got to deal with that, Rob.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah, but the good thing is that in the game, it's all of the guy. It's all of the guy's friends that he can't trust. So
yeah, man. Boys Night's going to be fun.
Love you. Thank you for having us.
You're very, very
genuinely
welcome.
Appreciate.
Thanks for being here,
Enjoy Boys Night. Watching Ben fold in on himself. I'm very sad I can't be there, but it's been an absolute pleasure hanging out with you in podcast form. And now Ben is going to thank you for spending an hour of your time with us, especially at the start of your week, by wrapping up the thoughts, feelings, and deep subtext of 1981's In Seminoid into a Monday motivational pep talk.
I got you. I got this.
While I just tell you to do what society always tells you to do and... consume.
Listen, life's not easy sometimes. You know what I mean? Like, you can take hard turns. And I think the answer that we can all take from Inseminoid is just fucking kill them all, man. You know what I mean? Snap that shit clean out. Run around murder rampage. Cherry bomb the shit out of your bosses. Do what you need to do. You know what I mean? Be channel the inner... What's her fucking name? Shelly? Shannon? Charisse? What's her name?
Shelly!
Fucking flip the desk. Bobby Cramps. Murder everyone. You know what I mean? Just fucking kill him. It's fine. Happy Monday.